Now here's Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio.
Tell all the hunters to lay down their guns. Tell them that the tiger needs a little bit of love. Let them run the jungle. Let them roam their land. Then stand back and marvel. What a beautiful cat. 'Cause I saw a tiger. Now I understand. I saw a tiger. Tiger saw man. I can give him a home.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, still sitting at home doing the show from my abode in the studio. Of course, Ryan the Hockey Guy and Chris Chapman. And that would be the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
Woo!
So it's clear that this song is growing on you.
No, I was just I figured I would appease you and let it play so I didn't get hollered at for jumping in too
Come
quick
on.
Today.
Come on. We actually thought you dropped.
Like, no.
Chapman and I were looking at each other like, should I open the show? Like, what's going on right now?
Well, no, every time when I say something, you go, oh, you talked before he did this or before they did that. So I let it marinate a little bit for you today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think I have not seen the show, but I think the song is pretty horrific.
I can tell you that the show is about 20 times... as horrific as this song is.
Okay, well, I don't know that that's a glowing endorsement of it.
Frank, if I'm not going to convince you, if Darren Millard isn't going to convince you, if Stormy Bonantoni's not going to convince you, I don't know what is.
Yeah, maybe
playing the song every day until you watch it is the last straw that I have.
Okay, well,
maybe Hear Kitty Kitty. I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to Chapman that much today. I don't know if he's got Hear Kitty Kitty in the back.
Not yet.
Ready
no.
to go. But
I can pull it up tomorrow.
It's possible that we might just be able to Joe Exotic you into watching the show.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to take a while. I did watch an incredible episode of Dark Side of the Ring last night, though, about the story of New Jack from the ECW and before that.
Yeah.
Wow, that guy was even more psychotic than I realized.
Dude didn't wrestle.
No. And you know what's funny? I actually used to go, because I grew up not too far from Philadelphia, so I would actually go to the ECW arena when I was younger, high school, and we would actually go watch New Jack. And I remember one night he hit somebody in the head with a Nintendo, and a cartridge shot out of the slot. So.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Like, I understand the appeal of ECW. Like, I understood it at the time. I understood it. I gravitated toward it. But for me, it was more toward Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn and the guys that could really wrestle, as opposed to New Jack just being a hooligan for 25 minutes and just trying to maim people. That was me,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, I was actually a big RVD fan myself, Rob Van Dam. I loved Sabu because he could wrestle, but he also was that crazy side.
He was a psycho.
Yeah, so I thought he went both sides of it. But on last night's episode, and again, I don't want to give too much away or whatever, if somebody wants to watch it, but
I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to be like you. I'm just not going to watch it.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to.
Jeez.
But I'm just saying, he literally admitted in one part of the thing when he threw one of the wrestlers off a scaffolding that he was upset that he didn't make it all the way to the floor because he was trying to kill him.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, like, I mean, and then they actually showed a video when he wasn't in ECW and that kind of fell apart where he stabbed a guy and he goes, yeah, they said I stabbed him 16 times. I stabbed him 9 times.
What was better? And like, Frank, I don't know where you stand in terms of like wrestling and the good old days of you know, WWE and even back when there was an F involved in their name and WCW and the Monday Night Wars and all that stuff. But like,
yeah, I actually watched it even before that because I'm older than you guys. I remember the old in Chicago, back in the Chicagoland area when it would be when I actually saw like you know, the early guys like Wahoo McDaniel and you know, Dirty Dusty Rhodes and Vern Gagne and guys like that. I remember Hulk Hogan before he was Hulk Hogan.
So I guess my question for you then is like, which when those three were at their height, when ECW was doing what it was doing, and you had Sting versus Hogan, and you had D-Generation X, and you had the Hart Foundation, like which one did you gravitate toward the most?
I was a big ECW fan just because I never knew what was going to happen, and I couldn't believe that guys were actually doing that stuff, and I didn't think it could be faked. And now watching these Dark Side of the Ring episodes and that, they weren't faking it. Last night they had on the Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, along with New Jack, and they basically just came out and said, like Sandman said that he had the match after that. One of the matches where a 17-year-old kid lied and said that he was 21 years old, and New Jack just literally sliced him open. And Sandman said, well, I heard about all the discussions going on out there, so I figured, well, I better go out there tonight and really bleed a lot to kind of take some of the pressure off these guys. And so he said he went out there and he said, I just bled all over the place. And it was real. I mean, it was real blood. It was insane. I knew they were nuts. I didn't know that. I don't know how any of them are still alive.
Well, Frank and I, years and years ago, we went to it was like a minor league wrestling over at the Riviera.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of legends involved, like Nick Bockwinkel and Dr. Death. And I think there were a couple of other guys there. But Frank, he tells a story about what happened with Nick Bockwinkel and his car keys.
Yeah, it was really funny because the ring announcer comes up after a couple of matches because Chris Masters was the main event, the masterpiece who fallen down to this organization.
Oh, no.
And he was wrestling in a thing. And they come up and they go, oh, by the way, if someone, and there's maybe, what, 300 people there, Chris?
Oh, yeah, it was empty.
Yeah, it was incredibly sparse. And the ring announcer says, by the way, if somebody finds some car keys and a set of keys and a house key and car keys and that, please bring it up to the ring announcer table, because Nick Bockwinkel has lost his keys. Nick Bockwinkel at the time lived here. He actually lived over in the Summerlin area over by Rampart at that time or whatever. But, yeah, he was walking around shaking hands and everything. But it was because they used to have a convention every year downtown called Cauliflower Ear, where they'd bring in all the Mad Dog Vachons and Baron Von Raschke. Baron Von Raschke, by the way, was a history teacher in New Jersey or something like that at the time after wrestling. So it was pretty interesting seeing that stuff. But I'll tell you what, this Dark Side of the Rings, these things have me hooked on them. They're incredible, and it's just nuts afterwards.
Well, I'm just going to refuse to watch it for no good reason.
All right, well, that's good.
Taste of your own medicine.
You know, just like Tiger King is my loss, I guess that'll be your loss.
So, I guess, you said Sabu, RVD. Like, was Sabu your favorite ECW wrestler?
He was my favorite ECW wrestler.
So I really liked RVD. Like, I thought he was just amazing. You know, his athleticism was out of this world. But
yeah, he lives out here in Vegas, too, by the way, RVD.
Yeah, but if I had to pick... If I had to pick my favorite ECW wrestler, it's a tie between Spike Dudley and Francine.
Oh, Francine. Oh, yeah, definitely.
100%. It's 100% Francine. Francine versus Beulah, give me that all day.
Beulah McGillicuddy?
Oh, of course.
You know, I was a big fan of Super Crazy.
Oh, okay.
He was like a Lucha Libre guy. I used to love him. The Raza Azteca, I think, was his nickname. But he was phenomenal. And the Japanese buzzsaw.
Tajiri!
Yes,
I forgot about Tajiri.
He was great. But Sabu was probably my favorite, too. I used to love Sabu.
Okay.
Yeah, I also used to be a pretty big fan of Raven, because Raven, that's when he could be really dark and just basically do whatever he wanted.
I'm gonna go Spike Dudley. Sandman had the best entrance, obviously. Obviously, but...
Yeah, come out to Metallica. You can't go wrong there.
Of course. And then didn't he go to WWE, and then they like had some generic ring music, and it just wasn't the same.
He was doing the Stone Cold thing with a beer long before Stone Cold ever did.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that Stone Cold Steve Austin basically stole the big part of his entrance.
So there's your trip down memory lane when it comes to wrestling. I'm sure we'll get into that more in the future, but I do think we have some... hockey stuff to talk about. We've also got some Golden Knight stuff, big Golden Knight stuff. Jesse Granger tweeted out today a story that he has with Bill Foley about the Golden Knights' third jerseys. They are done. They are ready. They have finally been perfected. It has taken a long, long time to get the right shade of a certain color for these jerseys. And that color is gold. They'll be gold. Bright gold. Your thoughts, Frank?
I'm not surprised because we've been hearing this rumor for quite some time now, and there was a lot of talk that it was going to be gold.
And after all, it is the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah. So I'm still curious to see exactly what they look like. I would love to, and hopefully we'll get the answer to this of what was the exact, what was the shades that it was between or something like that? Why did it take so long to get the exact combination that they wanted or whatever?
Well, I think if you go too bright, it becomes yellow, and if you go too muted, it becomes brown.
Mm-hmm.
So like you've got
like a tan or something, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got, if it's going to be gold, and from, again, if you aren't already subscribed to The Athletic for Jesse's stuff, it's great stuff, but more or less, the crux of the article is that Bill Foley and their team did everything that they could to try to get the color exactly right. You want to make this jersey, you want to have a gold uniform, you've got to take your time with it, you've got to make sure that it's going to pop, you've got to make sure that it's right. The reasoning behind why they want a gold uniform is in the article, and I'm not going to give that away, but that is genius stuff from Bill Foley. It really is.
Okay.
I'm glad they took their time with it, because what it seems moving forward is that this will soon be the primary home jerseys for the Golden Knights, and that the steel gray is probably going to be more along the lines of a third jersey than the gold ones are. I would expect the Golden Knights are going to wear these jerseys more often than they do their regular home jerseys.
That'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because the steel grays have become incredibly popular. In fact, I know later on this week, maybe on Friday, we're going to get in some of the players' poll that they recently had, and Vegas was voted as the second most popular jersey in the NHL.
My guess is that the gold jerseys are going to blow the steel gray ones out of the water. And if for no other reason, then no one else has this particular color scheme, right? Like, you look around the league, it is going to be unique unto itself. It is going to be distinctly Vegas. You're going to look at that uniform, and before you even see a logo, you're going to know that it's the Golden Knights.
Well, you know, the cool thing about the gold is you look around outside of hockey at other sports, and teams that wear gold generally have really cool uniforms, like Notre Dame. I know, Frank, you're not a big Notre Dame guy, but there's just something really cool about Notre Dame. The New Orleans Saints, the gold and the black, there's just something about that that's really cool. San Francisco 49ers, they incorporate all that gold. I mean, they have the gold helmets, which is really cool. So, I mean, I think gold as a primary color is kind of interesting, because you don't see it a lot. You always see it as a secondary color.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to see how it translates to the primary color of this team.
And I wonder how much of the jersey is gold. Obviously, the majority of it's going to be, but is it going to be just throw as much gold as you possibly can onto a jersey, or are you going to break it up with some black and red and steel gray accents? Like, those are the things that I'm curious to see, what the template of the jersey looks like, what the main logo is going to be. There's no guarantee that it's going to be Elvis helmet. It might be, but, you know, who knows? And that's going to kind of be the interesting thing is, I think obviously that the plan was to get these out into circulation and allow fans the ability to buy these jerseys before the end of the year. I think this is probably pushed back now, which is fine, but I'm excited. I can't wait to see them. I think they're going to be great.
Do you think that there's a chance that should the season resume that we see these broken out before the end of the season or for the playoffs?
I think that's a regulatory thing with the NHL. Like, if the NHL were to sign off on them and the Golden Knights could wear them for their playoff run, I think they would absolutely do it. But I don't know the intricacies of whether or not they're actually allowed to do it.
All right, well, we'll see how that goes. I'm curious, too, because I'm curious, okay, if the jersey's gold, the sweater's gold, you know, what color are the numbers, or is it just a black color? Is there a different color around the stitching around it and that? So there
gold
are a lot of
gold
interesting things.
All
yeah,
gold.
Boy. Well, I know we're going to have Dan Duva at the bottom of the hour here, and that'd be an announcer's nightmare trying to read numbers on a gold-on-gold-on-gold jersey.
Frank, you had something on Pete DeBoer, right?
Yeah, Pete DeBoer, and I was leading into that, was it should the season continue, because Pete DeBoer recently spoke with Greg Wyshynski and Emily Kaplan on ESPN's On Ice podcast, And DeBoer said, I can imagine playoff hockey in Vegas in August. It would be 120 degrees. It would be awesome. You'd have to change the dress code for the players coming to the rink, but I think people by that point would be starving for hockey. He went on to say, I know to a man the players want to have an ending to this season and want to end it the right way. I know with our group, when you get this far into a year, you can taste the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you want some closure to that. So I think whether we play in July, August, or September, I'm all for figuring out a way to get some closure to this season before we roll into the next.
Yeah, it's the same as wanting closure in the missing persons case for Carol Baskin's first husband. Like, I get it. I totally understand the need for closure. What I think is interesting is the dress code comment. You don't need to change the dress code. You can wear shorts with your suit, right? Like LeBron does it. If LeBron can do it, I'm sure William Karlsson could.
I don't think Karlsson would be the guy to do it. I think if there's one
No,
guy,
it'd be Karlsson.
No, I think Marchessault would probably be the guy to do it.
Well, he would.
Yeah, Marchessault and Reeves. I think Reeves and Marchessault would probably be the two guys.
I think they're all fashion forward. Like, I think they'd all mess around with it at least a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Brad McNabb, maybe not.
No, he's a very traditional guy.
Yeah.
Fleury, yeah, probably not.
I could see Fleury doing it.
I don't know. Hopefully we have the chance to talk to him. We could ask him.
Frank, if you had to wear a suit and it was 120 degrees outside, would you wear pants or would you wear shorts? Keep in mind that the shorts are cut from the same type of cloth as the pants. They're just shorts.
I mean, if I'm already wearing a suit and feeling miserable and sweating from the waist up, I mean, I would probably just go ahead and wear pants along with it.
Why not? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
You could be a little bit more free in the shorts.
Maybe. I mean, maybe I'd check out and see how each of them look. I mean, one of the reasons I got into radio years ago was so that I didn't have a job where I had to wear a suit and tie and all that kind of stuff.
Is there like an
Not my thing.
Is there an official name for what that's called?
I was just thinking about that, right? Because jean shorts are called jorts.
Yes.
So would they be suits? I don't know.
Sorts?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
And also, when you mentioned LeBron James gets away with it, does LeBron James get away with it, or does he have to pay a fine and he just doesn't care because he's got enough money that he can do
no,
it?
No, I think it's legit. Like, yeah, I think he could actually do it. Yeah.
It's part of actual suit etiquette. Like,
well, again, when we get to that poll on Friday, that was another one of those questions there, and a pretty good majority of the NHL said that they are in favor of, dressing down the dress code a little bit, making it a little bit more relaxed.
What would that look like? Like casual Friday?
Maybe just like wear a collared shirt or something. Maybe, just dress nice but not always have to wear a suit and tie.
See, no, I'm probably on the opposite end of this. I like the suits. Like if I had to wear a suit every day, I would make sure that I was very fashionable in wearing them. But to me, it's kind of a cool aspect when you see guys down, when they come out to talk to you and they're wearing suits and ties. I mean,
And you're not.
Yeah, I mean, I usually dress nice. I don't dress like I'm showing up at the station. But I would love to be able to have the ability to wear really nice suits like some of these guys, because I can appreciate like Tuck and Reeves, the way that those guys are so fashion conscious.
Oh, and you always like to see how the progression of the suit game goes from like rookie year,
yeah,
to like 2 or 3 years in the league, and your next contract, you know,
like James Neal, you knew he was a baller because he always. First of all, James Neal probably had the best suits of anybody on the team, but he was always on with the shoe game too. Like James Neal, I mean, he was like a rock star, a movie star.
No show socks or no socks?
No socks.
Oh, okay.
You know who else does that? Riley Smith. And I keep meaning to ask him, how is that comfortable? Like,
yes. I can assure you, as someone that doesn't like to wear socks ever for anything, it is 100%.
You have to have shoes that go along with that really well, though.
Well, right. That's the thing. Like running shoes, I don't ever wear socks. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So there's that. Steve Sisolak did extend the self-isolation period, shelter in place for Nevada until April 30th. So push that back 2 more weeks. we're here for you. We're going to be on the air every day. So we're just trying to do our part to kind of keep everyone in the loop on all that stuff. And now it's time for the NHL's greatest moments of the 2019-20 season, so far.
Bracket. In yesterday's matchup, Connor McDavid's six-point night advanced to the next round. This is today's matchup. Tyler Toffoli's Stadium Series hat trick.
The first hat trick in an NHL outdoor game, and this is number 30.
Versus Patrick Kane's 1,000 point.
There it is, 1,000 points for Patrick Kane. Sob score from Carpenter, and Kane started it. And look at the mob scene.
You decide who moves on.
I wonder which direction Frank's going to go.
You know, believe it or not, this was a very difficult vote for me.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, it was because, I mean, yeah, you have the first hat trick in the history of the outdoor games.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's really impressive.
Well, there's been like 75 outdoor games, so it's starting to lose its luster a bit.
Well, no, but the fact that in all those 75 games, this was the first time that we had a hat trick, that's what made it impressive to me because we hadn't had one before.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Kane, 1,000 points, I mean, that's a milestone. But it was like a secondary assist.
It wasn't like a secondary assist. It was a secondary assist.
Right. So I was trying to think, well, you know, I mean, it wasn't a spectacular goal. It wasn't even a great pass to set it up. I did like the fact that Ryan Carpenter was involved in it, former Vegas Golden Knight. We got to know him a little bit when he was out here. So I did toss and turn a little bit, but in the end, as you probably imagined, and what you were alluding to, yes, I did vote for Patrick Kane, and I figured that I was probably voting on the losing side of it because it was a secondary assist. When I saw the numbers, I was shocked at how close this was.
Your Chicago is showing, Frank.
I know, and that's fine. I mean, I have a Patrick Kane jersey.
What's great about this is that the Kings play was actually the better play. So the fact that I voted for Tyler Toffoli doesn't mean that I'm a homer or anything like that. It just means that I'm impartial and picked the right play. You, however, just can't do it. You just can't do it, can you? You can't vote for the right play.
Hey, at least I admit it, and I'm being honest about it, that I did toss and turn a little bit.
If
it would have been a four-goal game, would have given it to
from
Toffoli.
From the time...
But hat tricks
No,
hat
no, no,
tricks
hold
happen.
On. Hold on. From the time... You saw this poll to the time you voted for Patrick Kane was probably less than a half a second.
Nope. Nope, you're wrong.
I doubt that.
You can doubt it all you want to, but I'm telling
Patrick
you.
Patrick Kane, 1,000 points?
I looked back
points?
And forth
Tyler
a little bit.
Nope.
I even watched the video like three times before I did vote. And again, if one of Toffoli's goals would have been a spectacular goal, maybe it would have leaned it. But it wasn't enough. I had to go with 1,000 points.
How many goals did the Kings score in that game? Three?
Yeah, probably.
You know what's funny? You say had he had a spectacular goal, yet you're voting for a play in which it was a secondary assist, and you admitted it wasn't a spectacular goal.
Wait a minute. It's like a secondary assist.
That's kind of like the non sequitur, right? So I could avoid the biasness there.
Oh,
it's
goodness.
Clearly Tyler Toffoli.
And it's clear that the only reason you voted for Patrick Kane is because you are a Patrick Kane fan for inexplicable reasons.
They're not inexplicable.
Yeah, kind of.
I am a Blackhawk fan. I still watch the Chicago Blackhawks. I watch their games whenever I get a chance to. Patrick Kane, USA-born player, you know. I mean, that has something to do with it. He's won three. He's helped the Blackhawks, maybe been the main reason that the Blackhawks have won three Stanley Cups. I think he's a sensational player.
He is a sensational player.
A secondary assist is not greater than a hat trick.
But Ryan Carpenter also, you know, there's the Vegas Golden Knight aspect of it, too.
Oh, I'm sure that really, really entered your thought process.
Well, there was also...
Might have been that final straw, you know, that broke the camel's back.
I wasn't going to vote for Patrick Kane until I realized Ryan Carpenter helped make the play, too.
Well, you know what? If I'm being honest here, not that there's anybody on the Devils who's even close to 1,000 points, but I probably would have done the same thing like hypothetically 10 years from now, Nico Hischier is closing in on 1,000 points, I probably vote for him.
Listen, I don't know where Anže Kopitar is in relation to 1,000 points, but if Anže Kopitar gets 1,000 points on a secondary assist, I would expect Anže Kopitar to go to the score sheet and be like, don't give me credit for that. It's a primary assist or a goal, or it doesn't actually count.
Maybe even just the goal.
Well, you know, I do want to rewind just a little bit here. Back in the day, I don't know if you guys remember the day that we actually had this as one of our choices for play of the day.
You voted for it then, too.
I voted for it then, but so did Chris.
I did.
Okay, so for Chris to be giving me garbage now, making it sound like it's just Chris also
it's a secondary
voted for this
assist
in
versus
the past.
A hat trick.
Yeah,
I mean, right. But I'm saying, you know, I mean, it was enough to overcome those plays of the day.
Well,
so
I don't
for Chris
remember
to make
what
it sound like
were.
I'm just I don't necessarily
Frank,
either. But
Frank,
but I
can
am saying that it's not just because it's. But
I can
it's,
guarantee
it's 1,000
you.
Points.
No, I can guarantee you that if there was a hat trick, or even two marginally decent goals that day, Chris would not have voted for that.
No.
It's a secondary assist.
It's impressive. 1,000 points is impressive, but it's not.
1,000 points for an American-born player.
It's not the first hat trick in an outdoor game. By the way, in Colorado Springs, a place I used to live.
By the way, also Patrick Kane, 30 goals in each one of his seasons in the NHL to this point.
Do you want to just halt the rest of the show? Do you like when we get Dan on the phone? Do you just want to talk to him about Patrick Kane and all the records?
No.
You
I'm
sure?
Good. We should probably talk about.
You don't want to talk about Blackhawks then?
I mean, whether I want to or not, I don't think it's relevant to the listeners. You know, so.
Oh, I mean, you had a golden opportunity in front of you. You had a new third jersey opportunity in front of you, Frank, to just be like, no, I'm impartial. Like, clearly Tyler Toffoli is the better play here, and you just couldn't do it.
Nah, I'm not sure it was that clear. All right, Dan Duva is coming up next. We will speak with the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman all in on the show. Those guys in studio. I am doing it out of my home as I am semi-quarantined out here. I do go out to get some walks around my neighborhood every once in a while to try to do a little bit of something to stop from going crazy. Going to be joined by the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, in just a moment, but I wanted to throw this in. We were just talking about that latest poll. You can go to NHL.com and vote on it if you'd like to. And right now, Toffoli's outdoor hat trick or Kane's 1,000 points. Guys, with over 4,900 votes in, it is now 50-50 by the voting from the fans out there. So, certainly the closest one that we've seen up to this point.
Total joke.
Okay.
It's not even close.
17 hours left. If you haven't voted, you can do so. Let's now go to the phones and joining us, our good friend, the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva, joining us now. Dan, how you doing? We talked to you a little while ago, and hopefully we'll see you at the rink again here in the not-too-distant future. But how are you keeping sane, and what are you doing to amuse yourself and entertain yourself? I imagine that there's probably some Springsteen involved in it.
Well, yeah, it was great to be welcomed onto the show with some greetings from Asbury Park. That's fantastic. Is that Chris who picks the music for us?
It is.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Great job, Chris. I knew a Jersey guy would take care of such things. That's well done.
So, Dan, I guess I'm a little bit more interested in what does Dan Duva listen to when it's not Bruce Springsteen, or is that just silly because it always is?
Well, it most of the time is Bruce Springsteen, but not exclusively. You know, when we travel on the buses and the airplanes and everything, the Dave and Gary and Shane and I end up, you know, always together for better or worse. And Dave is the singer, Shane is the DJ, and I provide the speaker, and Gary is just there. but I've got this little Bluetooth speaker, and normally Shane does a pretty good job of mixing things up, Dave is really good with the 80s songs, you know, whether it's Journey or, you know, Springsteen, of course, is another favorite. But Shane has a little bit more of a modern twist, and country music, too. And having gone to Nashville a couple of times, you know, we get the mix of country. So I'm not sure that I have too many other artists that I would say, boy, I've got to have that new record by this particular person. But I'm also not going to discriminate against any particular genre of music. But no, it's to me, it is, by and large, Springsteen is a genre, and it's just which decade are we talking about?
So when it comes to talking about Springsteen, then do you ever just sit around and go over what are his best songs, his best albums, things like that, or is that hard to differentiate because it depends on the mood you're in, maybe?
Well, that's a fair point, and. You know, there's the discussion, of course. You know, I could tell you a few of Dave Gosher's favorite Springsteen songs. Gary's got a favorite. Shane just makes fun of us. He pretends that, like, who is that? Is Springsteen like Piano Man, or was that somebody else? No. and don't get me wrong, I love Billy Joel, too. But, you know, the latest record that Springsteen put out is one unlike any of his previous ones, I think. It's called Western Stars, and it's if you look at the cover of the record, it's a horse in the desert, and there's a real Western feel to it, but it's not a country album. It's sort of like a Southern California, like 60s pop meets Western. It's got an interesting vibe to it, and there's some songs that I'm sure some people enjoy more than others. But the neat thing, whether you like the music or not, is aside. What they did after they put out the regular album was they shot sort of a movie, and they released it. You know, it was in theaters, but they put it out, you know, on DVD and whichever service you like to subscribe to. And it's Springsteen and a whole band, not just the regular E Street Band, but we're talking, you know, violins and all kinds of instrumentation in a barn on his property in Colts Neck, New Jersey. And they turned it into this feature film, and it's fantastic. So just from a filmmaking standpoint, I really enjoyed watching that and listening to it. And it's one way of, since we don't get to see concerts in person, you get to see Springsteen plays the whole album in his barn.
You know, Dan, I want to shift gears here just a little bit. And looking at this season kind of as its own entity, kind of in a vacuum, what's one word you would use to describe this season for the Vegas Golden Knights? You particularly, just what's that word and why?
I think the word that comes to mind, Ryan, is transitional. Part of that is the coaching change, and that is a pretty hard transition from Gerard Gallant to a different mentality in Pete DeBoer. The other mentality, or the other part of transitional, I think, is the first year plus, it was very much about the Golden Misfits and all the guys who were here at the very beginning of the franchise. And that started to shift a little bit. You know, I mean, Stastny and Pacioretty came over prior to year two. But still, I don't think it dramatically shifted the identity of the team. You know, when Mark Stone came at the trade deadline, that was sort of a signal that things were changing. But now this season, especially since you've had players the Golden Knights have drafted, that you have this different feel to the lineup, not only Stastny, Pacioretty, and Stone, but other guys, you know, obviously a goaltender like Robin Leonard coming very recently, but whether it's Chandler Stephenson or Alec Martinez, you know, the emergence of Shea Theodore. To me, I think the word is transitional. It just feels like a different team now than it did even in the later stages of last season.
You know, when you're talking about the team and being transitional and that, Pete DeBoer just recently did an interview, and he mentioned in that interview how badly the players to a man want to end this season, whether it goes into July, August, or September. Now, we know that the NHL has been adamant that they want a full 82-game season next year. What do you think about that statement by DeBoer saying even or September in there, basically saying, look, one way or another, if we have any opportunity to get this season, the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm sure all the other teams that are in playoff contention as well, they would all like to see a Stanley Cup awarded this year.
Yeah, and of course that will depend upon how much we have checked this virus and how much the pandemic has come to a halt. And really, who knows? It's I suppose it feels good to be optimistic, and you think, well, maybe they could start playing in, you know, June, maybe July, and, you know, do they go straight into the playoffs? And normally the playoffs take a couple of months. Is there a way to condense the schedule a little bit or cut down on some of the travel days so maybe you could do it, you know, June, July, July, August? But we also have no idea if it would be safe to resume large gatherings in that period of time. Maybe we're closer to normal, but are we fully back to normal? I'm not sure that there's going to be that perfect day where we just say, oh, it's over. I'd love that to be the case, but who knows? So, yeah, I think that until there's they run out of calendar days in 2020, why not hold out hope? So, again, it's so early to put look into the summer months of July, August, September. I know that they want to have a full season next year, but I'm not sure that I think that they would keep pushing back the start of next season so that they can award a Stanley Cup this year. There's just been so much done this year already. You're not just chopping off the first week or two of the season. You're talking about teams that have played, in Vegas' case, 71 games out of 82. To just throw all of that away just is hard to wrap your mind around, especially for a team like the Golden Knights that seems to be on the rise. And would be in very good position to win the division and maybe make some noise in the playoffs. So I have no idea how long they would continue to put off the resumption of play until they decide to just stop everything. But I think it's going to be months and months before it might, you know, like if it takes 2 months to play the playoffs, like does it go into, you know, October, November? I guess that's starting to push the limits of the calendar year.
You know, Dan, we ran a poll, I want to say a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about who we thought the MVP of the Golden Knights was this season. And we had it down to about three guys. It was Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and Shea Theodore. You don't have to pick one of those guys, but in your opinion, who do you think has been the most impactful, the most important, the most valuable player for the Golden Knights in 2019-2020?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd agree with those three, for sure. And especially, you know, you think, like, Shea is the guy who's intriguing because of where he is right now, or should I say, you know, when the NHL was paused, where he was at that point in time. And I wonder if the way he's been playing the last couple of months of the season had been that way from the start, if that would, I think then he would clearly be the MVP. Of course, JT the Brick, we know, has been banging the drum for Shea Theodore for months, going back to December. I think that, Mark Stone, though he had missed the last couple of games there, and Max Pacioretty, we know, was injured and would be about to miss some time if the games had kept going. But I think if there's one guy that you would hate to pull out of the lineup, I think it's Mark Stone, which is not to take anything away from Pacioretty, who has bounced back to form after a down year last season. Shea Theodore's career is very much on the rise, and he very well could be the team's MVP next year and would find himself in Norris conversations next year. I think he's a little bit on the periphery of that just because it wasn't the whole season. But Mark Stone, and we've talked about this a lot over the last year or so, Mark Stone is so valuable when you get to see him every day. There are so many things that he does that if you just saw his highlights or you just saw, you know, one game every month or two, you wouldn't really have that feeling. But watching him day in, day out, shift after shift, the offensive side of things, the defensive side of things, just how smart he is, how he makes the players around him better, I think if I really had to pick one, I'd probably go with Mark Stone.
You know, Dan, I kind of want to wrap it up on my end here on a kind of a fun note, because also earlier when DeBoer was doing that interview, we talked about hockey in Vegas in August, where it would be 120 degrees, and one of the things he mentioned was that they would have to change the dress code for players coming to the rink because it would be so hot out there. We discussed that at the top of the show a little bit, and I know Ryan threw out, would hockey players be allowed to wear, like, shorts with their suits or something like that, like LeBron James does with the NBA? Now, you're a pretty dapper dresser, and I know that you take a lot of pride. Do you see yourself wearing a Dan Duva customized suit with shorts instead of long pants on it?
Not a chance. But let's also dial it back here. When it was June 7th, right, was Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final a couple years ago, it was 117 degrees. So whether it's July or August, and sure, it might get up to 120. But 117 is darn hot enough. I mean, once we start going past 90, dress codes, I suppose, should be reevaluated wherever you are. But I remember standing in the vestibule of T-Mobile Arena during the Stanley Cup Final. Remember they had all those TV stages out on Toshiba Plaza. And I remember walking into the arena, and Kenny Albert was waiting to go out to one of the stages for a TV interview. And he was drenched. And he had to wait inside because he was sweating so badly, and he was exasperated before he could go back out there for an interview. He just couldn't stand the heat for such a long period of time. I felt terribly for him, but he was wearing, you know, a dress shirt. I think he had his tie off. So if we're talking about relaxing the dress code, I mean, maybe you scratch the tie so you don't sweat through your collar. But outside of that, no, I think that part of hockey, a lot of players do take pride in the dress code. It's not just about the comfort. It's about showing some style. And I think that a lot of the players appreciate the history, the tradition there of dressing up for work.
All right, Dan. Well, we appreciate the time. Where can people find you on social media? I know you guys are still doing the podcast and other things out there.
Yeah, on Twitter for me, it's Dan_Duva, always there, always reachable. But we've done a bunch of things and doing some writing and some podcast. We did a video thing that was published today. It was called Knights Report. So the edition that they published was Mike McKenna, Stormy Bonantoni, Darren Millard, and me. And that was fun. It's about 35 minutes of discussions on various things. We've answered one of those NHLPA player poll questions, which is, if you could pay to see any hockey player, past or present, which one would you pick? So we did that and a few other things. And we got the SLGND podcast. Gary Lawless did this terrific job with How the Knights Were Built. We did a podcast about that, and there's a terrific written piece on VegasGoldenKnights.com. Another thing that they published today was some of the Golden Knights broadcaster memories. So there is no shortage of stuff available. You could fill between your show and, you know, JT and all the other programming that the Golden Knights are putting out. There is no shortage of stuff for the fans to consume.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of good stuff out there. Always fun talking with you, Dan. Hope to talk to you soon, and hope even more so that we do see you before this season's over back at T-Mobile Arena and at City National to watch some Golden Knights hockey.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. Looking forward to seeing you again soon.
All right, Dan Duva there, the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up here on a Wednesday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back. Wrapping it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman, all here with you. And guys, I kind of wanted to end it today with a little bit of a positive note here. In these times, we can use a little bit of positive news. And yesterday, Alex Pietrangelo was on a conference call, and he was talking about teammate Jay Bouwmeester. He said that Jay is good. He's still here. His plan was to be here no matter what. Here is St. Louis, by the way. His kids are in school. So I think once he wraps all that up, he might try to get home if the doctors feel comfortable. That a lot of the guys live in the same area, so guys have been stopping by to see Jay to check on his progression and how he's doing. He said he's out and about walking around. He was at the rink pretty much every day that they were home when they were playing, leading up to, of course, the shutdown of pretty much everything in the country. So good to know that Jay Bouwmeester, of course, who had that experience that basically shocked the hockey world, looks like he is on the road to full recovery and doing well right now. So that is definitely a good sign and something that I think every hockey fan and everybody out there wants to see.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you try to put things into perspective. And for Jay Bouwmeester, his season ended that night and obviously has to reevaluate a couple of things. But the extra time off and being back in St. Louis, I think, is certainly a good sign for Jay and his future.
And real quick, want to throw this in too. The other day we mentioned that Tuukka Rask was looking like he was talking about maybe retiring. He now says he's open to contract extension talks with the Boston Bruins, whether it's because of some backlash from people talking or whatever. Tuukka Rask looks like he may be not going to retire right now. And I think, as a hockey fan, I love watching Tuukka Rask play, so I'd like to see him stick around for a while.
Toffoli 51, Kane 49.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. There's still about 17 hours of vote on that. That's going to do it for us. JT the Brick is up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have Nate Schmidt on. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Have a good evening.